When I walked in the sanctuary this evening for pre-service, Emily was belting out, as she does so wonderfully. I love it. Let your light come. Let your light come. Let your light come. Well, the title of my sermon is Let There Be Light. So that happens again and again and again and again, over and over again, that the Lord knows, and He's the one that plans these services. I promise you, we don't have meetings, nor do we discuss it. All we do is say, Lord, do have your way and make us open to what it is that you want to do in us and through us every time we meet. How many of you appreciated the sunshine today? Yes. Some of you, I do not, but I know many people that are really emotionally troubled by the lack of sun. And many of us, including me, end up on doses of vitamin D during the winter because we need light. And I've been troubled in my spirit lately by the lack of light. Physically, yes, you know, we don't get very much sun in Rochester. But because of the darkness around us as well. And it's hard sometimes to not be affected by that because there is darkness all around us. You don't have to look too far. And recently, there's been a lot of things that have gone on in the media that are nothing but dark. I don't even want to report what they are. But if you are aware at all of things that are going on in the world, you know there's darkness all around us. But God had a solution for darkness right from the very beginning. The very first command that God ever spoke had to do with dispelling darkness. I'm just going to give you a heads up. This is quite a scripture-heavy message. So let's go right to Genesis. In the beginning, God. Do you know that that's probably one of the most important things that we can ever know? In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, an empty waste, and darkness was upon the very deep. Sometimes I feel like that's where we are, that the world is an empty waste and darkness is all around us. And that's what it was. It says He created it. He created the earth, but it was dark. There are some theologians that feel like between verse 1 and verse 2, something happened, that the earth actually was the territory of Lucifer. And when he fell, the earth itself kind of turned inside out and became without form and void. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But that's what it says. That's what the word says, that it was without form, an empty waste in darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering, moving, brooding over the earth. I love that picture. The Spirit of God just like this, hovering and brooding over the earth and over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The sun, the moon, and the stars had not yet been created. So this wasn't natural light. It wasn't the light from the sun or from the moon or from the stars. God saw that the light was good. That was his very first command that is recorded in Scripture. Let there be light. As far as I know, he has not rescinded that commandment for there to be light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And this is the message of promise, which we have heard from him and are now repeating to you, God is light." And in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, starting right in verse 1, it says, I love these, the beginnings of John and 1 John. I just love them. So, John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning..." We just heard that, didn't we, in Genesis? "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. And all things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." When God spoke those words, "Let there be light," he was infusing his very being into the world. He was putting himself into the world. Light itself, the very being of God into the world. And as I said, as far as I know, he has not rescinded that. And so regardless of what our emotions tell us, regardless of what our eyes see, regardless of what the world looks like, there is still God infused into the world. The very light of God, the very person of God, the very person of Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God. That word spoken, "Let there be light," was Jesus himself already coming into the world. If I didn't say another word tonight, that moved me so much when I thought about it. I'm like, God, there is no darkness. We can perceive darkness, we can feel darkness, but you are still infused. The light of God is still infused into everything, all of creation. Now, I asked my friend Noah Webster what he thought about light and darkness, and here's what he said. "Light, the ethereal agent which makes things perceptible." Now, the word ethereal is not one that we use very often, but it means heavenly, celestial, and a vast chain of being from God. So light is the ethereal agent that makes things perceptible. It makes things manifest to us. He went on to say that light is fluid. Light comes in waves. It moves. It has astonishing velocity. It goes 12 million miles a second, I believe. I can't comprehend that, but it's true. Light, when it's decomposed, has colored rays. You know what those are, don't you? The rainbow. And what is the rainbow? The rainbow is the promise that God gave. And up in 1 John that we read, it says, "And this is the message of the promise." It has to do with light. The rainbow is a promise, and the rainbow is light, the light of God saying, I'm never going to destroy the earth by a flood any longer. There was a promise attached to it, and the very promise of light came from God at the very beginning. Light also is emitted from bodies that are ignited. I like that. And reflected from enlightened bodies. The illumination of the mind, of instruction, and of knowledge is all light. Darkness, very simply, is the absence of all of that. But it also means obscurity, the want of clarity and perspective. Are you ever without clarity in something? The quality or state which renders anything difficult to be understood. It means to be intellectually clouded or kept in secret. And if you've ever sat across my kitchen table and I've counseled you, you have heard me say those things that stay in darkness belong to the enemy, and the things that come to light belong to the Lord. The enemy would like nothing more than to keep your stuff hidden, because then it belongs to him. It belongs to the kingdom of darkness when it's in darkness. And our pride or our fear or our shame keeps that all bottled up. And when we bring things to the light, I'll tell you what, it loses power already. You find a safe person. Doesn't mean you've got to print it in the paper, but you find a safe person that you can talk to, and you bring your stuff to the light, and it loses power. Darkness means to be intellectually clouded, and it also means the empire of Satan. There is a kingdom, there is an empire, according to Noah Webster. The kingdom of God does one thing, the empire of Satan does another thing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 4, it says, for the God of this world, this is another fact that makes people think that the earth belonged to Lucifer before he fell. He's the God of this world, scripture says. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. In the kingdom of darkness, we are blinded. People are held blinded. You have to have an instrument of sight to see, right? To come to light, to come to knowledge, to come to Christ. Satan keeps people blinded. Now, I just will confess to you that the Lord has convicted me recently of judging sinners for sinning. And he said to me, what do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do? They're sinners. They're blind. I wouldn't judge a blind person for not seeing. And he convicted me and he said, don't judge a sinner for not coming to the light yet. But here's how you can pray. Here's how you can have compassion, just like you would if a person was physically blind. Lord, bring them vision. Shed light. Help me to guard my heart and not judge their blindness, Lord God, but bring them light. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6. So we've got one, the kingdom of this world keeps people in darkness and blinded. In verse 6 it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, just like we read in Genesis, has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light, capital L, for illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Thank you, Lord, that for everyone in this room that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, God has said to your heart, let there be light. Thank you, Lord. And that is how we can see who he is. And that we can also reflect who he is. Because he spoke. So in the kingdom of the enemy, there is darkness. And in the kingdom of God, there is light. It sounds simple, right? Darkness, however, cannot overtake the light. The kingdom that we are in is stronger than the kingdom of darkness. We've made some declarations today about that, trampling down our enemies, not saying, please go, right? We don't say, please go. We say, go. We don't make room for the enemy. We say, go. Darkness cannot overtake the light. Look back in John chapter 1. In Matthew, is it that it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God? In verse 5, it says, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it or put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. In some translations, it says, light shines in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Light shines in the darkness and the darkness didn't understand it is what comprehend says to me. But the word that that comes from is kata lambano. And it's a compound word. In the first part, kata means force or something that's dominant. And lambano means to seize, to grab hold of, to conquer, or to tackle. And so if we repeated that verse, we should say what it says in the Amplified. Or, darkness does not have the ability to suppress or hold light under its domain. It does not. Darkness is not stronger than the light. It is not. Thank you, Lord, is right. And so when we get fearful about what's going on around us, we can say, the light is stronger than you are. Amen. You cannot control the light of God. You cannot overcome the light of God. It is stronger than any darkness the enemy would try and bring to the world. One of the first times I ever flew, I flew out of Rochester on a very, very dark and dreary day. And you reach a certain altitude, however, and there is the sun. And that very first time, the Lord said to me, the light is always there. Just like what it says in Genesis, let there be light. The very essence of God that's not been rescinded. The sun is always shining. Whether we can see it or not, the light of God is always there. And light will overcome darkness. I shared with Keith on the way to church and some of you yesterday, and some of you may have read this about the little boy who was in the rubble of the earthquake in Turkey. He was 5 years old, and he had been in the rubble for over 12 hours, and they rescued him. And he was interviewed by a reporter, And he said, weren't you hungry or thirsty? And he said this, no, I wasn't, because sometimes someone dressed in white came to feed me and give me water. Darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. God knew right from the beginning sin would happen. Jesus coming was not plan B. He already knew exactly that if he gave man free will, the choice to love him and follow him or not, he knew what the end result would be. But he knew that in his plan that there would come a person who would carry the manifest light of God, the very essence of what God spoke right back there at the beginning of creation. In John 8:12, we're all familiar with this. Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light, which is life. We learned last week, you know, we've been talking for a few sermons about who we are, what our gifting is. And Jesus knew, he says right in this chapter later on, or in chapter 9, I think, I know who I am, I know where I've come from, I know where I'm going. He was very assured of himself. And he spoke to the Pharisees, this was in the courtyard of the temple, and he said, I am the light of the world. What a bold thing to say. They were upset by that because they understood what he was saying, that for him to say that, he was putting himself on equal status with God. They understood that. But yet he did it. I am the light of God. Right back there when God said, let there be light, Jesus the Word made all things and became the light. In John 9:5, it says, as long as I am in this world, I am the world's light. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the world's light. Now, what did Jesus illuminate? Part of what we said light is to make things manifest and make things known and bring things to light. And I believe that in his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, he manifested different things. But in his life, walking on this earth, I think what he did was he illuminated the nature of God. He said, that's why I've come, to let you know who God is. Whatever your perception was, here he is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. I am the manifestation of God. And he also came to illuminate the nature of the kingdom of God by healing, by raising people from the dead, by living a sinless life, by discipling people, by living the life that he lived. He was illuminating and showing us and modeling for us who God was, but also what the kingdom of God was supposed to look like. But then he says, as long as I'm in this world, I am the world's light. He left. Jesus doesn't walk the world anymore as a man. He left. So who now is the light of the world? We are. If you want to know who you are the light of the world. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and looked in the mirror and said, I am the light of the world? Might you live differently if you did? If you told yourself that? I am the light of the world. Jesus, when he left this earth, transferred his mission on the earth to us. He left us with his spirit. He left us with his authority. But the mission that he was sent to accomplish as a man on the earth, not his redemptive mission, which happened in his death, but his earthly mission, if it was to reveal the nature of God and the nature of God's kingdom, he's transferred that to you and me. I want to read to you Matthew 5:14 in the Passion Translation. It says, "Your lives light up the world. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who of you would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so your commendable works will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father which is in heaven." What this verse is saying is that your good works done before men has the potential of leading other people to Christ. There is a helicopter. Your lives light up the world. Let it shine brightly before others so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them, and they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. The Amplified says that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy noble good deeds and recognize, which is what we do in the light, we recognize things and honor and praise your Father. I recognize God in you. I know most of you. I recognize God in you because of the way you live, because of your testimonies, because of the way you carry yourself. And if we have the same call as Jesus, we need to not live as the world does. There needs to be something different about us. I know years back, I knew a woman that said, I just don't want my kids to miss out on anything. I just want them to be happy. I don't want people to make fun of them. So there were things that were allowed that were not light. The end was not good. Not only did their lives not bring anyone to the Lord, they themselves didn't remain in the light. We have to be willing to be different, to be a light. It doesn't mean necessarily that we become Amish and dress a certain way that draws really more attention to us. Because the one we want to be drawing attention to is the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of that is done just through our countenance, by what comes out of our eyes. I know when my husband worked at the Open Door Mission, he said, "I can tell a lot about a man by whether or not he will look me in the eye." And some of them could not look him in the eye. That's because as lights, we can sometimes both attract and repel. And you've got to be okay with that too. It's great to be the attraction, like bugs to a light on your front porch, you know. It's not fun to be the repellent to someone who's traveling with friends, who's living in darkness. And if you were really blind all of your life, light will hurt your eyes. And the same thing can happen sometimes in a person's spirit or soul, that they will take a step back because of your light. You've got to not care about that. We have a few directives. But first I want to say that God who created light, who is the Father of light, and sent his Son to be the light of the world, did not shine in your heart for your sake only, or that we might hide under a bushel for just ourselves, but we're meant to both transmit and reflect light. Let's look at a couple of more scriptures in Ephesians 5. Starting in verse 8, I'm going to read a pretty good chunk of this. For once, you were darkness. Notice it doesn't say you were in darkness, in the Amplified at any rate. It says, for once you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I love this phrase. Lead the lives of those native born to light. As if you were born that way. Live that kind of a life. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light, or the Spirit, consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what's pleasing to the Lord. Let yourselves be constant proofs of what's most acceptable to him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast so that you will expose and reprove and convict them. That's some of the fruit of walking in the light. For it is a shame to even speak of or mention the things that such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it's made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. This is what I was talking about before, about hiding things. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And in Christ you shall shine, make the day dawn upon you and give you light. This is a verse that I pray for people that I know are living and walking in darkness and are dead in sin. And you can pray, I love praying scripture because you know you'll get it right, you know, because of God put it. So if you know someone that you think needs to know the Lord that's living in darkness, awake, whatever their name is, sleeper, arise from the dead and receive the light of Christ. We were darkness and now we're light. And you know, not only will the light in us reprove and correct and challenge other people, it's meant to do the same to us. Some of you who know me have said I have said quite often for the last season that the Holy Spirit has gone so deep in me with a headlamp. Do you know what I mean? like a coal miner would wear or someone working outside, and a Hoover, because he's been going deep in there with his light and saying, you missed a corner here. There's still a little bit of this going on in your life, like judging unsaved people. Let me take care of that for you. Let me get my Hoover out and get that out of there, because what is in us is what's going to come out of us. And I don't want anything but light to come out of me. And so the light of God will also reprove us and convict us. And I do very often say, Lord, shine your light in my life. Because if there's anything in there that even has a teeny amount of darkness, I don't want it. Because I'm going to transmit that to someone else. And I'll be accountable for that someday. And I don't want any of that in there. Philippians 2. It's Philippians 1. Verse 14. It says, do all things without grumbling, fault finding, and complaining, and questioning, and doubting, that you may show yourselves to be blameless, guileless, innocent, and uncontaminated children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars, or beacons shining out clearly in a dark world. One of the things that can keep us from being light is grumbling, fault finding, complaining, doubting, and questioning. Very recently, again, I've been convicted of several things lately. It's putting more of my focus on the darkness than on the light and complaining about it. Why is the world so bad, Lord? And he said, you have authority over that. You can complain about it, or you can take authority over it. You can talk to your friends about how bad it is, or you can pray with your friends and take authority over it. Because we're meant to be stars and beacons shining out in a dark world. And the people who are living in the darkness, they need light. They don't need us to be darkness. They need us to be light. We need to be light. Isaiah 60. This is a command. When something starts with an imperative, word, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Arise from the depression and the prostration in the circumstances that have kept you. Rise to new life. Shine, that also is a command, it's not a suggestion. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isn't that amazing? That the very glory of God is meant to be made manifest in every one of us. And here's the fruit of it. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your risings. It will shift nations. as we live as the light of the world. Lift up your eyes around about you. See, they will gather themselves together. They will come to you. And here's a part I love. Your sons and your daughters will come. Those of us who have children who are prodigals that have stepped away, our light will draw them in. Nations will be changed by the light of the glory of God. What do you think that reporter thought when that little boy reported to him his testimony that someone in white brought him food and water? How could that not have an effect on that person? How could it not? We are meant to be like Moses, who's been in the presence of God and has a shining face. We have to be intentional about being the light. We have to spend time with him. We have to go into his glory to come out glorified and shining like he is. We've got to make it a priority in our lives. Not only to not do the things that will keep us from it, but to do the things that will cause us to shine with an unveiled face from glory to glory. We need to look like him, act like him, be like him to carry out the mission that he had of being the light of the world. And do you know, as it was in the beginning, so it's going to be again. Isaiah 60, 19 and 20 says this, "The sun shall no more be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord shall be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory, and your beauty. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be ended." That's what we have to look forward to. Turn quickly to Revelation, chapter 21, verse 22 and 3, "And I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God himself and the Lamb are its temple." The New Jerusalem he's talking about. "And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to give light to it, for the splendor and the radiance and the glory of God illuminate it, and the Lamb is its lamp." And in 22, verse 5, "And there shall be no more night, and they shall have no need for lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light, and they shall reign as kings forever and ever throughout the eternities and eternities." What God spoke in the beginning, "Let there be light," is what we have to look forward to. And the light is going to be God himself that will illuminate everything just as it did that first day of creation. The light of God infused, shining around us with no more crying, no more tears, no more sickness. Light, continual light from the very face of God. But in the meantime, we have a mission to do that very thing here on earth. The mandate that God gave us. I want to spend just a few minutes praying. The last scripture I want to read is Isaiah 9. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them the light, capital L, has shined. Please. Yes, Judah, please. We can pray that prayer. The people who walk in darkness, we want them to see a great light. Those who dwell in the land of intense darkness, in the shadow of death, Lord, we want your light to shine upon them. But I want us to pray and make some more declarations. It's a night of declarations. In your circumstances, when you don't know where you're going or where you are right now, let's pray, let there be light. In our lives, let there be light. Through our lives, let there be light. In the darkness of this world, let there be light. In the lives of those that we love that are not yet walking in the light, let there be light. In a minute or two, we'll make some declarations together, but can you first just take a moment and ask the Lord to show you, is there any dark place in you? And ask him to bring it to light and do what he will with it. Father, forgive us. We repent, Lord God. For anything we've thought or done that has allowed any kind of darkness into our lives. We give you permission, Lord God, to remove that from us. We repent, O God, and we say we're sorry. And Lord, we're forsaking the darkness of this world and the things that draw us into darkness. Lord, that we can be children of the light. Father, help us to make a covenant with our eyes, to guard our hearts, to align our emotions, to pay attention to where our feet take us, Lord God. To guard the things that come from our mouths. Lord, let it all be light. And Father, there are some of us who are in transitional places, who feel like we're between a rock and a hard place, who have decisions to make, Lord God. And we just say, in every circumstance where we do not have clarity, let there be light. Let there be light. We ask for your light, Lord. Light our path, that we can walk according to your will, Lord God. And Father, those of us who have children and loved ones, Lord, who once walked in the light but have turned away, we call them back to the light now. If you need to call them by name, do that, but we just say, come back to the light now in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn from darkness to light now. We call you back. Every one of you, we call you back now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would remove every hindrance from our lives that keeps us from being the light of the world and fulfilling the mission that you've called us to for as long as the earth exists, Lord God. Father, give us a new holy boldness. Give us a way to declare. Lord, give us your eyes, your heart, your hands, Father, that we can truly be the light of the world, that we can expose who Father God is, and that we would reveal the kingdom of God on earth, that we would call on the Holy Spirit and the authority that you've given us to complete this mission, and that we would be the light of the world. Thank you, Lord God. And I'm just wondering if there's anyone that has a burden to just pray generally for the darkness in our culture. If you would be willing to come up and make some declarations. I don't feel it's supposed to be me.
I declare right now in the name of Jesus what the enemy has meant for harm, that God will now turn it for good. We declare that the darkness was designed and allowed by God to bring people to him. And we release that right now in the name of Jesus, by the power and the blood of Jesus. We call those that are hungry and thirsty. Come, come now in the name of Jesus. Come now to Jesus, who will feed and satisfy your soul in the name of Jesus. We tear down every high thing that exalts itself against the truth and the light of God. We declare you have no power. We declare that the power of Jesus is over and you are beneath his feet in the name of Jesus. And we have the authority by the power and the blood of Jesus to command you down in the name of Jesus. Let go of what belongs to God in the name of Jesus.
We command the Baal structures, the false idols that have set themselves up as gods in this nation. We command you to be broken, your hold on this nation be broken. We plead the blood of Jesus over this nation from sea to shining sea, and we declare that it will once again be a land dedicated to the Lord. It is a land set apart for worship of the one true King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Every false god, every false idol, we judge you now in the blood of the cross, and we break your power to influence and to have lordship in this nation. We declare Jesus alone is Lord. We serve him, and we declare, let there be light.
Father, we thank you that you have not rescinded your command for light. And Lord, give us eyes to see your light all around us, that we would not judge with our natural eyes, but we know to be true from your word, O God. Lord, that we would see the light, that we would be the light. Lord, that we would give the light to others. And we thank you, Lord God. We accept the mission that you've given us. We receive what you have said that we are, Lord, that we will change our identity to be the light of the world. And I pray, Father, that you would empower each of us in the various gifts that you've given us, Lord God, in the desires of our heart, Father, in our spheres of influence, in our families, our neighbors, in those we meet day to day, that we would be the light of the world. We thank you for doing it, Lord God. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to say, if there is anyone present tonight that has not walked into the light or felt the light of God come upon them to bring them into the kingdom of God, please don't leave tonight without having someone pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. Please, if you need prayer of any kind, there's prayer available after the service. There are refreshments. Please stay in fellowship.